Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't deny that Israel, as they were in Egypt, witnessed the power of God unlike probably any people really has ever done. They experienced God really in kind of the ultimate my dad can beat up your dad kind of moment. They were slaves in Egypt, slaves to a foreign country where there were foreign gods and maybe even forced to worship these foreign gods. But as God sent Moses into them to deliver them, they watched God at work, and they watched a God against God's throwdown. They watched as the Lord, through Moses, turned the mighty Nile River into blood. They watched as Egypt was drowned in flies and gnats and frogs and locusts. They sat back as they saw their Egyptian neighbors groaning because they were afflicted with boils and sores on their skin, while the Israelites were protected. They listened as all of Egypt wailed in grief over the death of their firstborn sons, while, again, Israel was watched over and protected. They trembled at the power of God as He rolled back the Red Sea, allowing them to march out of Egypt as a free people on dry ground, while the Egyptian army was swallowed up by the waters in defeat. It is the ultimate, my God can beat up your God's moment. They have seen and witnessed the power of God, His strength, His might for deliverance. And now in our passage this morning, they're marching, they're walking through the wilderness of Sinai. And a couple months into the journey, they're hungry. Whatever food they had as they left Egypt has now run out, and like hungry teenagers, they start complaining and grumbling. There's not enough food in the house. And so they grumble and they complain to Moses, and listen to how strong their complaint is. We wish the Lord had killed us in Egypt. When we lived there, we could at least sit down and eat all the bread and meat we wanted, but you have brought us out here into this desert where we are going to starve. All they can think about is their need for food right now. As they complain to the Lord, they don't even recall the fact that when they were in Egypt and had full stomachs, they were slaves. They forget that little detail. They're hungry. They complain. It's like in the 400 years that they lived in Egypt, they've forgotten who God is. They don't know Him anymore. They've forgotten what God is capable of. They see and know God as powerful and mighty. They know now He is able to save. He is able to deliver, to bring them out of slavery. They know He can bend nature to His will so as to crush their enemies. But what they don't know yet, or what they doubt, or what they lack in trust, is whether or not this God is a God who can sustain them, who will provide for them, who will see to their day-to-day needs and their own physical well-being in mundane ways. Hopefully, as one who attends this church, you know the Lord Jesus as one who delivers. Hopefully, as one who attends this church, you know our Lord as one who rescues sinners from sin, who pours out graciously and abundantly his forgiveness of sins upon you. I hope in the times that you've heard me preach that you've at least grabbed that much. Hopefully you fear, love, and trust in this Lord. But our question today is, do you also know and trust in a Lord who sustains you, who watches over you, and fulfills your day-to-day needs, who provides for you, who cares about the needs of your body, your physical well-being? In the Large Catechism, as Luther is talking about the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me," he says, we are to trust in God alone and look to him and expect from him nothing but good, as from one who gives us body, gives us life, gives us food, gives us drink, nourishment, health, protection, peace, and all necessaries of both temporal and eternal things. In other words, he says, we're to look to God as one who not only cares about where we're going when we die, but how we are on this earth day to day, that we have what we need day after day after day. Yet how often do we show a lack of trust? How often do we grumble? Do we complain like the Israelites? Oh, it's not raining. It's raining too much. I just can't catch a break. How often do we lack trust that God is watching out for us day after day? One of the really marvelous things about this passage is that the Lord doesn't get angry. The Israelites complain, and their complaints, their grumbling, their murmuring is highlighted over and over and over again in this passage, but the Lord doesn't get angry. Unlike myself, when I get in the car with the kids, we might have just had the biggest pot roast dinner that you could imagine, filled the kids up to the full, and we're going to Bismarck, and the second we get in the car is, "Dad, I'm hungry, I need a snack." The Lord doesn't get angry. Instead, he meets their need. They complain to Moses, "Back in Egypt, we had meat and bread to the full." And what does God tell Moses? "I'm going to give them meat and bread to the full." He provides for them. And as he does so, he tests them. He refines them in their faith that they might depend on him. He tells them, "I'm going to give you exactly what you need, no more, no less. Throughout your entire time of wandering, you're going to have it. All you have to do is go out and get it, and I will provide." He refines them in this, helps them to be a people who trust that he is there for them day after day. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus will look on a crowd, and they've been listening to him, and he sees that they're hungry, and he has compassion on them. He's unwilling to send them away hungry into a desolate place, so he meets their needs as well. Our Lord does the same for you. Our Lord Jesus took on flesh, took on blood, and so precisely because of this, he understands what we need. He knows what it's like to be hungry, what it's like to be cold, what it's like to be alone, what it's like to be without a place to rest your head. Our Lord is mighty to save, but he is also mighty to sustain. Luther says of the first commandment, we are to fear, love, and trust God above all things. And again, in the Large Catechism, he sums it up like this, and he imagines God saying to us in this commandment, whatever you lack of good things, expect it from me. Look to me for it. Whenever you suffer misfortune and distress, crawl and cling to me. I will give you enough, help you out of every need. Only do not let your heart cleave to or rest on any other. Let us pray. Lord, this is exactly what we pray for, that you would help us to trust, fear, and love you so that we would know you as the God who provides, the one who cares for our day-to-day needs, the needs of the body. We ask, O Lord, that you would help us to trust in you, that you watch over us, that you are our kind and good Father. Help us to cleave and cling to you only and no other. We pray this in your almighty name. Amen.